Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
En la obra, el tiempo vale oro. Por eso en Lowe's tenemos Pro Block Quick Dry Primer hecho por Sherwin-Williams. Diseñado para los pros con aplicación uniforme, tiempos de secado rápido y resultados impecables. Disponible en base de aceite o agua. Ordena en línea antes de las 2 p.m. y recibe entrega gratis el mismo día. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Pedidos hechos después de las 2 p.m. se entregan al día siguiente. Válido en códigos postales selectos. Sujeto a disponibilidad de conductores. Aplican más términos.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily.
Happy Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome into Sports Daily. TJ Cleland and Jacob Albrock here with you. And Jacob does not know how to unmute his microphone.
Unmute, in everybody. The morning.
Jacob, try it again.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. If you're tired, there's a lot of reasons you might be. Chiefs Monday Night Football. Although it was a quick moving game, but how about an 18 inning extravaganza in Game 3 of the World Series? If you watch that game and are up with us right now, kudos. That's a commitment right there. I had to leave it. I couldn't stay up with it. But what a game! That series has been really good. The Chiefs get their win on Monday Night Football. We've got both of those things to talk about today. Voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, is going to be with us as well. It's all what's on tap, brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, now featuring the Cooperstown Pizza with a sriracha cream sauce, cream cheese base, and topped with chicken, bacon, mushrooms, and mozzarella. The Cooperstown Pizza now available in a lunch or full size at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. Good timing with a game of that magnitude. They will remember that one, I am sure, in Cooperstown in some way. But we can get into that. We'll get into the Chiefs a lot here this morning. Wyatt Thompson will join us in about 15 minutes. So we'll sort of take the bird's eye here in the opening segment and then dig in deeper as we make our way through the show. TJ joining from Kansas City because you were at Monday Night Football last night. TJ, how are you this morning?
It's true. It was a late night in Chiefs Kingdom. Got out of there. It was actually a pretty quick game. It got over pretty quick, but got out of there late, talked to all the players, everything like that, did the reporter thing, and then turned all my stuff for the morning, and there was still baseball going on, but I had to make the business decision to go to bed.
Yeah, it was a tough decision. I definitely didn't think it'd be going until, I think my last buddy texted about 1:45, and he was like, I don't think I'm going to make it, and I woke up to see that text this morning, and I'm like, holy cow, what happened? And then I look it up. Just wild, wild stuff. Max Powers got the KFH hotline for you at 869-1240. We have lots of different ways you can get in touch with the program besides the good old-fashioned phone call. You can leave us video comments. Those are available to you on Facebook, on YouTube, on X. You can tweet at us directly there on X. You can also watch us, and we appreciate you watching us on 12 News Connected. here this morning and for listening to us on the Odyssey app, whenever that might be, because, of course, the show available in podcast form on demand anytime that is convenient for you. Let's get TJ right into the Chiefs in the interest of switching gears to some K-State talk next. That was an interesting game. It was an interesting first half. I think the second half went more like we thought the entire game would go, and the Chiefs kind of turned it on and dominated in the second half. But the first half was a cautionary tale of mistakes can get you, and they made some in the first half, and it was a close game at halftime.
The first 15 minutes were some of the worst football put on the freaking display in the NFL. It was five possessions and five turnovers if you count the turnover on down. So awful start to the game. They eventually put stuff together. And then I think, like as you said, it was a 21-0 run from the Chiefs. And that was the second half is what we expected the first half to look like. But I agree. I mean, there was a time where Mahomes threw a second pick and I looked over and I was like, the Chiefs are going to lose this game. Like if they do this, they're going
to
lose this game.
Had a little Jacksonville feel to it there, huh?
Yeah. That's correct.
So I think the biggest issue, honestly, for them in the first half is, and this is something to watch and probably the big takeaway on the cautionary side, because there's a lot of positive takeaways, is that the offensive line was getting manhandled to start the game. And we knew that, you know, Simmons probably wasn't going to play. We learned as the week went on, it was likely. And then, of course, Trey Smith was ruled out. And the Chiefs struggled with a good pass rush, and it was a depleted pass rush for Washington, and they were still able to create just tons of pressure and issues for Mahomes early in the game. Now, Mahomes eventually started to move around the pocket a little bit, but it looked to me at least like the least comfortable he's been in the pocket all year long, which you would expect. I think that's why we saw some line movement. That thing was down to like 10 points, went 2.5 points down over the span of a day or two. I think that's why it's something to watch. I don't think any of the line concerns that presented themselves yesterday by injury are long-term issues, but they're not just going to be able to put anybody out there anytime, TJ, and have the sort of success they've had early in the year on the offensive line. And all you have to do is think back to last year to remember how much of a pain in the rear that can be for the offense.
Yeah, it was early on. I do feel like in the second half, though, as everything got better, I think that absolutely did get better as well. I mean, Mahomes, you know.
Mahomes adjusted, too. I mean, Mahomes was moving around a lot in the second half.
Yeah, and I mean, he had time. I mean, I felt like he had time in the second half to float around and everything like that, and that's where we saw the, you know, 35-yard gain to Travis Kelce, and that's always what happens that we always talk about. And so, yeah, you know, Mike Caliendo last night talked about, you know, just – what the week has been like and sliding up into that spot. And he said something along the lines of like, I'm fortunate that whenever I have to do this, I have Creed Humphrey to my left and Juwan Taylor to my right that makes my job easier. And so it still is, you know, I felt like it was still kind of a strength in the second half. I think that everything was just kind of going wrong in the first half. And so I think that, you know, take everything with a grain of salt, I'd say.
Yeah, I do think, and look, they look great in the second half, but I think we've got to pay like they need to be healthy on the line to make this thing hum or at least play well on the line, which they played much better in the second half. They did. I don't know what kind of adjustments they made. Credit to the Chiefs for doing it. But if they have the time, they are an unstoppable offense. I mean, we saw it over and over. You can keep them contained on first and second down, but there's just too – if Mahomes has time with all these options – the only way I'm convinced to disrupt the Chiefs is will be a pass rush. It will only be elite pass rushes. I think that's why the Jags gave them some fits. I think that's why we saw them for a half look a little shaky last night, because the only way to disrupt this thing is going to be a pass rush. And we saw, I think, a workload for the pass catchers that is probably about how the Chiefs would like to draw it up, right? Pepper Rice the most. Kelce was just flat getting open. And if they're going to if teams are going to let him do that, then they're going to, I mean, Mahomes is going to throw to him a ton.
That's what my biggest takeaway was whenever the game was over, looking at the stats, is what we talked about yesterday about, you know, with Josh Briscoe, about if Rashee Rice is back, like, are you going to have to make the adjustment and leave Kelce open? And it felt like that's what happened for a lot of the game.
which interestingly is not what has happened historically with Rice healthy. With Rice healthy historically, it has taken some away from Kelce. But last night, clearly Washington did something different, and Kelce was sort of the beneficiary, I think, of the attention to Rice. Worthy appears to be, TJ, a guy that will get a decent workload and every once in a while break one off, I think. I thought it was interesting to see Juju a little more involved. This was not a Hollywood Brown game, which was something, and that's not what we saw in the first one. But the bottom line is, it, Mahomes throws to the open guy. So most often that's going to be Rice, and they obviously design the most stuff for Rice, and we know why, because he is highly talented. The other thing about last night that made it impossible for Washington to get it, they ran the ball. The Chiefs ran the ball like crazy. They carried the ball with the backs. Doesn't feel like it. The backs carried the ball 21 times. Like, this offense is not going to be stopped. I've been saying it for weeks. It's not. It was for a quarter. And then things got figured out. And a pass rush is the only way to do it. We'll have much, much, much more on the game. What did TJC from Boots on the Ground? We'll have that after a quick conversation with Wyatt Thompson, voice of the Wildcats. We'll talk about the Sunflower Showdown and moving forward to a huge showdown with Texas Tech. It's Sports Daily, everybody. Good morning.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them, and you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Other sports books just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
And welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH, and we are joined now by the voice of the K-State Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, on a Tuesday morning. Glad to be with you here. Wyatt, are you recovered from the Sunflower Showdown?
Absolutely. Yeah, it was an amazing couple of days. Long trip to Columbia, or somewhat long. Late start, short night, wet Saturday, but a great Saturday. Really excited about the football game and how the guys performed after kind of getting behind the eight ball there early with a mistake on special teams to start the game. I was so excited about, the defense and how they executed the game plan, and the offense was pretty darn good too. It was really cool walking out of there with that kind of a win when you're, the underdog for the first time in forever. And trust me, happy locker room, happy group coming home.
Wyatt, I want you to use the term wet loosely, because you weren't shooting the game down on the field like we were, getting rained on up in your booth up top. We've talked about it. This feels like it's the best that they've played. Like, I mean, bar none, this looks like the best that K-State's played all year.
You know, it's really been an interesting thing, to be honest, because after the Friday night loss at Arizona, where they played really quite poorly, actually, I think there was a, quote, circle of the wagons and getting back to their roots. Coach talked about that in that first off week, that they went back and kind of went into, quote, camp mode, because I think they felt like the camp prior to the Ireland trip wasn't probably, long enough or good enough. And I think since then they've been better, progressively better. You know, they've not been perfect. We all know that. But I think we've seen Avery get better, the offensive line push and those types of things. And just I think with the offensive line, it's just kind of settling in. Devin Bass, since taking over the right guard spot, has allowed Andrew Langang to be settled in at right tackle. He's good at swinging and playing multiple positions. But you guys know, man, if you can get five guys in unison, it's better. And I think that's a good thing. Despite the loss of Toby Osunsami, I think the defense has continued to thrive and get better. I was so proud of Ryan Davis on Saturday and what he did, and several others for that matter. I thought he played his tail off in the game, and they did a really good job of really limiting Jalen. They for the most part did two things from my perspective. One, they were able to pressure and keep him in the pocket with the four-man front. And when they did need to blitz, I thought they disguised things really pretty well. I'm not a football expert. I don't mean to portray that in any way, shape, or form, but just kind of what I have gathered from talking with the coaches and the players, I think they gave a lot of looks that probably, frankly, had Jalen Daniels a little bit discombobulated, which is hard to do. The dude's a good player.
Yeah, it was as good a defensive performance as we've seen. I thought Avery Johnson, and it was odd, I was telling TJ this yesterday, I'm watching the game, and man, it just feels like Avery is carving them apart. And then I go back and I look at the box score, and I'm like, wait, he only threw it how many times? He only completed 11 passes. Mm-hmm. That seemed weird to me, because I thought as a passer, it's as gifted as he's looked in college, just showing the raw skills that people have always been enamored with.
Well, Stan played quarterback, and you know that. He was raving at the end of the play and during the timeout on the throw that Avery made into the south end zone to John Tibbs and how perfect it was. I thought that the long throw to somewhat ice the game to make it 35-17 to Jace was also really well done. You know, you talk about the numbers, and I think you make a good point there. Jace Brown only had four catches, but for 160 yards.
Right.
You know, K-State was the team with the bigger plays. KU, a big play team, didn't have nearly as many as they normally have. I've been rewatching, you know, the game, and there was a point where it showed KU averaging over 400 yards a game, and at one point, I'm going to say late third, maybe early fourth, they had like 215 yards. So they did a really good job against them.
Yeah, Wyatt, obviously the Sunflower Showdown is always an emotional one. One thing that stuck out to me is, you know, K-State was open after the game that, you know, they were kind of PO'd that they were underdogs in this game, and every coach in the country wants to use that as fuel and everything like that. But as you said, it was an excited locker room, but this is a first feeling after a Sunflower Showdown in a long time.
Well, you guys know this. I've said this for a lot of years. This game is hugely important to the K-State fan base. The players know that. And I think they were surprised that they were an underdog despite, and you know what, maybe they shouldn't have been, but they were. And what I mean by that is when I first saw the line, and I'm not a big, you know, betting person by any stretch of the imagination, but when I saw that KU was favored, I'm like, you know, I get it. You know, you're over there. They've been a pretty darn good football team. But, you know, I think K-State was motivated by that. I think they were motivated to continue the streak. And I think with the celebration, it shows you what the game means to them. I just felt like at the end of the day, they were really carved in, so to speak, and played one of their best football games, if not their best overall football game of the year. They probably need to clean up some things in the special teams from that game. I didn't think the punting was very good. You know, they had the fumble on the first return. But other than that, it was a pretty darn good day at the office.
It was as good as they've seen. And Maybe the crazy part why it is it's going to need to be even better if they want to win this week. And they have to win this week. The door is it's cracked open for K-State to still achieve its ultimate goals, which is wild to think about. But things can happen to get them there. None of it happens if they don't win every game the rest of the way. And Probably none of them will be more difficult than the one they face this week.
Well, we certainly would say that right now, right? This is a Texas Tech team that's 7-1. They've done a pretty darn good job surviving an injury to Baron Morton, their quarterback. He is expected to start this week. I guess that was revealed by Joey McGuire yesterday at his presser. Guys, when you watch them, they're very impressive defensively. Not that they aren't offensively, but that defensive front, they paid a lot of money for those guys. I'm not trying to make light of it necessarily. I'm just saying it is what it is. But when you look at David Bailey and Lee Hunter and Romello Height, the guys that are, you know, fully healthy right now, they've been, I'm just going to be honest with you, they've been dominant. They're giving up about 12 points a game. They keep those linebackers clean, and those two dudes, and in particular, Jacob Rodriguez, are so good. So are they perfect? No. Can K-State move the ball on them? I hope they can. I think they can. But the deal is I think they're going to have to find a way to run the ball and keep Avery clean. K-State doesn't give up many sacks. They didn't give up any in the KU game. But you know Tech pressures you, whether it's with a four-man front or, you know, blitz packages or whatever. So you're right. This is a major, major challenge for K-State.
Wyatt, I'm sure that people are, you know, pumping this through the building that you're going to work in just a little bit. But, you know, they're kind of back from the dead. And the Big 12 is about to reach the carnage stage. There's two undefeateds, and then after that, you know, it is carnage. So you have to beat Texas Tech first. If you don't do that, it's going to make it a lot harder. But, you know, are we delusional? You know, is it a possibility?
Well, I always think it's a possibility. I mean, as one example, did we all predict Cincinnati and Houston to be right here where they are today? Of course we did. No, we didn't. Right? No, we didn't. And that's what makes this league so intriguing in so many levels. Everybody knows that Arizona State was picked dead last year and won the league. nobody saw this from Houston. What just wanted Arizona State, guys. Arizona State beat Tech in Tempe. So, and I don't know what, if you guys paid much attention, but Utah destroyed Colorado, and they did so with a freshman quarterback. They're like us. They're getting better. So it's a long grind. We're just kind of now getting to the final month of the regular season. And I think you said it right, man, that we didn't think so a few weeks ago, but there's a lot to play for, I believe.
I absolutely think there is. I mean, I think it's an outside chance, but it's a chance. Like,
sure.
I mean, it's there. What else are you playing for, right? We got a little more update on Dylan Edwards yesterday. Wyatt, he will not play. Chris Kleiman mentioning that leg, I think he called it a lower extremity, is just not doing what it's supposed to do in the healing process. This is where college athletics annoy me, where you get, there's so much speculation about things.
Right.
Do you have any indication that this is anything more than an injury that's just not healing right? And then it comes into the question of, is redshirting Dylan even an option, or is it like, maybe let's see what happens in these next games and see what's out there. I would imagine Dylan wants to play football.
Here's a couple of things that I think I can say. One, Dylan's people have said that he's not in this to redshirt. He is. It's hurting him to not play. I believe that. And some don't. And I respect that, too. But this is a situation where he had the injury early on in Ireland. And then kind of another direct hit in the game in Waco, and he just hasn't been able to come back through that. They did, you know, some testing and found things they didn't like. And as Coach said during his press conference yesterday, we're not going to play him when he's not ready to play, and he's not ready to play. So there's a lot there. I get all of the speculation. He's a dynamic player. I'd love to have him. Everybody would. But not this week, unfortunately, because this would be, as we talked about, this would be a great, great Saturday to have him, right? This is going to be a real challenging football game for K-State.
No kidding. Same breath there. You know, we've talked about, you know, on the show on Tuesday and Monday mornings about how different this team looks whenever he's out there. You know, it feels like that they've just reestablished what they're trying to do, because they know that it's going to be a while till he gets back on the field. Joe Jackson has looked better, but, you know, as we said, he only threw it 17 times still, but they seemed like they threw the ball. Like, Avery was more of the pocket passer that, you know, people talked about earlier on in the year. Do you feel like they've shifted to a, you know, post-Edwards mode whenever they don't have him out there?
Yeah, I think that's a good way to say it. And again, I think with the improvements that you have seen, and if I'm being honest, a little bit of this has to do with health too. As an example, if you go back and pay attention and watch Jace Brown in the TCU game and then watch him from Saturday, I'm just going to be honest with you. It was pretty easy to tell that he wasn't at full go in the TCU game. It's just when he is right, he is a major league threat in this league and is for everybody from my perspective. That would be one example. I think Tibbs has continued to improve. Bradley didn't have necessarily a big game in any way at KU, but he was really good, and it was great to have him back with the TCU win. So we said going into the year that they have a lot of weapons. The problem is we just haven't had them all on display together really at all. So you've had to kind of mix and match. And I visited with Joe Jackson at the presser on Monday, and he's a really neat young guy, and he's getting better. I think he's an example of what K-State is, because he will tell you he has been challenged. He is running with more physicality and purpose and toughness, and he's seen some results of that. So all good, at least for now.
Wyatt, we are going to switch gears to basketball. One more game that doesn't count Friday, then it starts counting 1 week from today.
Yeah.
But tell us what we learned at Missouri there. It was a lot of points. What do we make of it? What do we ever make of games like this? What did we learn?
Well, what I would tell you, and this is probably following along a little bit of what Coach Tang said, but you could tell that they've worked a whole lot in the preseason on offense. That was problematic a year ago. They want to be better there. They scored 91 points. They did a lot of good things. They scored in the paint. They hit some threes, got to the foul line, only turned it over 10 times. So if you start from the positivity side, you got 20 plus points from your star, what have you. Nate Johnson really hardly played any good basketball at all in the first half. And in terms of, I guess maybe I should clarify that, he just was not aggressive in the first half. And in the second half, right out of the gate, he was. There are guys on this team that didn't shoot the ball very well, like Abdi Bashir, who I think will as time goes on. But you do, on the downside, you do have to be concerned about the paint points for Missouri, guarding the dribble drive, those types of things. They got to – Missouri was really good a year ago, top 10 in the country at getting to the foul line, and they did that the other night. But I think Coach said it in the postgame show with us that those types of things are coachable and teachable, and we can get better there. But I think he saw what he wanted to see in terms of some of the guys playing together. I think you'll continue to see that on Friday night and into the first few games of the season for sure. I think they kind of have a pretty good feel of who their top seven or eight guys are, and that's kind of what you want to do. But still molding them together will be, you know, forefront, I guess, here for the next probably month or a little bit longer.
Yeah, well, I didn't get to catch it, you know, since you guys played at midnight on Friday night. But you said they know the top seven. I think everybody in the country knows who the top one is in PJ Haggerty. Everybody talked about that at Big 12 Media Days. Was he as advertised? And my mind immediately goes to all the point guards that Jerome Tang has had since he's been at K-State. You know, Marquise, Tyler Perry, those guys, you know, does he fit the bill?
Well, he's just a scorer. I think that's what I noticed. And I'd seen him before. You know, he played in the American, and I saw him, I think, one time against Wichita State and a time or two against other teams. He just scores in such a variety of ways. And I hate to say that it looks easy for him, but he does at times make it look pretty simple. He's got a really good, quick, solid release. He can hit a variety of shots, and I think that was on display. I think he was 8 of 14, if memory serves me correctly, or something in that vicinity. There's not much to not like. He's a really neat kid. I think he's really, really gifted, probably a next-level player, so you just got to keep him going and get everybody else, you know, kind of on the same page with him, and I think that's the challenge now. Like I mentioned with Nate and Abdi, and there are others. I mean, Andre Kostic is very young but very skilled. Elias Rupiak is a kid that I think there's much more in the tank there. One guy I want to see them get going is David Castillo, because he could play a really big role as a backup point guard. He has not shot the ball, I think, like he is capable of since he's been at K-State. I hope they can get him kind of turned. We didn't see Marcus Johnson in the game. I think we will on Friday night. So they're still, you know, kind of looking at some things and trying to get better.
It'll be going again. One more against Newman on Friday, and then it's real next week.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah, I'm excited for the league, aren't you guys? I mean, it's just crazy to look at it. Six teams ranked in the top 25, and most of them are in the upper two-thirds of that. And I don't even want to start naming them, because you're going to leave one darn good team out. So
it's going to be strap it on. The league's going to be crazy. Kansas is picked fifth. If that tells you anything, I mean, come on.
Yeah, it's exciting. Great brand of basketball too, man. No doubt about that.
I heard Brett Yormark during the Sunflower Showdown come up into the booth and say it is the second best league in the world behind the NBA.
How about that?
I don't disagree with him.
well, they're chock full of stars. I mean, you every year. I mean, if you're adding, you know, the Dabanza kid or the kid at KU. I mean, really, those guys are. They could be 1 and 2 in the draft.
They probably will be.
Yeah,
it
tells you everything you need to know. And then the coaches in the league too. It's so impressive.
Yep. I love it. We can't wait for it. This time next week, we'll be talking about it. Wyatt Thompson, everybody, voice of the K-State Wildcats. Appreciate it. We'll talk again soon. Go down to Lubbock and give it a shot.
You got it. Let's see what we can do. Thanks, fellas. Good to be on with you.
All right. I said go down to Lubbock and take care of Tech. I'm not sure why I said that, but of course that game's in Manhattan. It's one of those that you say it and you're like, that's not right.
A lot of tortilla talk has been clouding our minds.
Yeah, I guess so. That game is in Manhattan, and K-State's going to need to play probably their best game of the year.
Touchdown underdogs.
Touchdown and a half is where I'm seeing it. But either way, it's it probably should be more than that, to be quite frank, if Morton is confirmed healthy, you know. But K-State looked really good against KU, so we'll see. We'll see how they handle it. See if they can step up at home and just have their best game of the year. That's what it'll take. Yep. All right, let's talk Chiefs. We had a very abbreviated look at the game last night. So it's a game that you start watching it. We're all wondering too. We see the line kind of going toward Washington. Thoughts of Jacksonville on Monday Night Football a few weeks ago creep into our heads a little bit, and then we see the game open up, and it's like, okay, what's happening here? Mahomes interception, good play by the defender. All right, fine. Tip your hat. Then the Kelce interception happens, and you're like, ah, crap. Here we go again.
Yeah, the first one, as you said, I mean, it was a tough throw. He threw it kind of behind him a little bit, trying to back shoulder. It was a good play. It was a tough throw to make. In the second one, you know, that was just the classic, just right off the hands, right to the defender that we've seen all the bad luck happen before and everything like that. And so I was sitting next to Noah from Cake next to me in the press box. I'm like, they're not winning this game. There's no way. Like it everything seemed like it was too good. It's the most Chiefs thing in the world. Like, this is going to be sweated out, end up losing. It's going to be all hell break loose about, well, there goes the division. They're not going to be able to catch the Broncos now. Oh my gosh. And then something changed, and then they look like the Chiefs again.
Yeah. I mean, all that needed to change was they figured out a way to slow down that pass rush, and Mahomes found his groove, and Kelce recovered nicely, of course, which was good to see, as he's, you know, he's clearly older, you know, maybe not quite as it's looked like his reflexes are just a split second behind where they used to be. And they're still adjusting to that, and they're doing a good job of adjusting to that. He has been he's been really good still at getting open in doing those things that they need him to do so badly. But you know, Washington decided to play a certain way, and it let it be a Kelce game, and they took advantage of it. And I do think that's good to see. But here's the thing that stands out more than anything else to me in that game, in the games, in whatever we're looking at for the Chiefs, is how well the defense continues to play for Kansas City. Just 260 yards allowed in the game. 260 yards allowed. Now, Washington's not some juggernaut offense, especially with Marcus Mariota at quarterback, but Marcus Mariota has played games this year and been pretty good, and they got all of their weapons back. That was, you know, that was as much a full strength Washington offense, minus Jaden Daniels, which is a big deal, but they had all these players back, and the Chiefs defense yet again comes up, holds them to 7 points. They've allowed 7 points now in the last 2 weeks. And yes, the opponent matters, but this defense continues to be a strength of this team. Not just, you know, not just good or whatever. Like, this is a real strength. And in a game where they start slow and do that, I think we can sit back and say the defense has got their back here, because the offense is going to be good most of the time this year when it's this healthy. And if the defense is also that good, they're going to be hard to beat, even when they play poorly like they did in the first half.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think that, you know, any Chiefs fans thought that Marcus Mariota was going to come in and beat you, but he played well for the first little bit of that game.
He's been good this year when he's played.
Yeah, but I agree. The Chiefs defense is, that's what I kind of brought up earlier in the year whenever we were talking about, you know, what the difference is between last year and this year. And, you know, I kept saying that, you know, Chiefs defense isn't as good, but Chiefs defense still might be a top 12, top 10 defense in the NFL, and that's probably still true to this day. And so, yeah, I mean, it feels like a buzzsaw. You know, the joke that we've been making is, you know, which of these wins can you actually count as wins whenever everybody's got one of their stars hurt? And so you're going to learn on Sunday.
Yeah, we will. We will learn. And it's – look, the Bills have had their problems too. And most people that look at the Bills, they've said it's like a physical problem. Like, they're, you know, they're not quite as physical as they need to be. And the Chiefs can maybe take advantage of that. I mean, you know, if Marcus Mariota has the kind of success he did, okay, Josh Allen's probably going to find at least that or maybe a little bit more. It does feel like a game the Chiefs offense will need to help out the defense. I think you always feel that way when you're playing Josh Allen. But I don't have really any concerns, TJ, about the offense right now. The line was a concern for a minute last night, but I think Trey Smith will be back quickly. And if Josh Simmons can find a way to get back for this game, that would be fortuitous. But if the line is good, this offense is going to score a ton of points on everybody. Doesn't matter who they're playing. It's going to be on everybody. And I just like the defense is holding up. And it's not just they're holding up. They are a good defense again this year. And it backs up for me the fact that I think the Chiefs are the best team in football right now.
Yeah, the one question that I think that, you know, you could bring up about the offense is, you know, what the run game is going to be and, you know, what it could look like going on the road in the playoffs if that had to happen or going on the road late in the year. You know, I just looked it up. The low in Buffalo on Sunday is 38 degrees with a chance of precipitation. So are we going to see Mahomes, you know, throw it 40 times? Are we going to see running backs carry it 30 times?
Give me that forecast again.
It's probably gonna be like 40 degrees and like a 20% chance of rain.
That's probably fine. How much different was that than last night? If it's not raining, what was the temperature last night?
It was like, yeah.
Yeah. I think they'll be okay. As long as there's not wind. I mean, it's always about the wind. Kansas City has such a quick strike pass offense. Did they take any shots last night? I don't think they did.
I don't remember any.
I don't think they went over the top even one time, which is still in their bag of tricks. Don't forget, they have three guys that at any point can go streaking. Shout out to old school. But Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and Tyquan Thornton can try it at any point. So they didn't last night because they didn't really need to, and they had a clear design on what they were doing. But I unless there's wind, when their quick strike offense goes like that, it's not weatherproof, but it is better in the weather than maybe some of the old Chiefs offenses might have been. Everything is condensed and it's run after the catch. It's get open. I thought that last night, every pass seemed to be carrying a receiver in a direction, right? There weren't very many stopping routes. Like everything was moving, every screen, everything. It looked, when he'd let it go, it's like, oh, Mahomes just made a bad pass, but then he didn't, because it was a guy 100% in motion. They are so much like a run after the catch offense. Like that is their thing now. Like that is what they're doing. Everything is carrying the receiver in a certain direction. It's confusing to watch it. I can't imagine trying to defend it, especially when they have the time. Yep. And so if they have the time, they're going to, it's not unstoppable is not the right word, but it's as close as you can get to shutting a team down over a game as we ever get in the NFL. They're going to be hard to keep under 21 points.
Yeah. It arises the question, you know, how do you beat the Bills? How do you think that they can beat the Bills? Do they outscore the Bills, or you try to keep the Bills low scoring? I just looked the last, the two games the Bills have lost this year in their span there, that they got turned over twice by the Falcons and three times by the Patriots. You know, do you need your defense to do that, to slow this team down, or you try to win in a shootout?
You never want to think it's going to be a shootout, because that means your defense is getting dominated. But we know how these Bills games go. It probably will be. But I think right now, if I'm the Chiefs, I trust my offense to do whatever it is that it needs to do. Other than the other team getting a great pass rush, which the Chiefs have, when healthy, shown us that they've sort of neutralized, right, with their offensive line changes this season. What's the way you stop their offense?
The Chiefs' offense?
Yeah. What else there is.
Like you just have to that's the thing, is that the layman's term answer is take away the pass and make them run it, but there's five receivers.
But they're running it.
They are, but it's not as effective as the pass game, is what I'm saying.
No, and that's fine. But like, if somebody sold out and consistently, you know, only rushed three dudes and dropped everybody else into coverage, they could run the ball if they needed to. That'll never happen. But, it, I mean, that, you know, they can at least – Washington's defense isn't very good. Let's get that out of the way. Like, they're not good. They have been as bad as there is in football this year. So I also don't want to look at that game and say, oh, look, the Chiefs are going to be able to run it, you know, at 5 yards a carry or whatever it was last night. I think that's not going to happen either in most games. Certainly not against Buffalo. But it's still like you've got to respect it. Is Isaiah Pacheco okay? He took a pretty good shot there at the end of the game. Did that get brought up after the game at all? He looked like he was okay. The broadcast crew seemed more concerned about it than Isaiah Pacheco did. But was there anything there? Because he did take a shot to the knee.
Nobody talked about it. He was in the locker room. We didn't get to talk to him, but he looked good in the locker room whenever he was walking around.
I'm sure he's okay. It was a little bit of a scary moment, but I also thought that was as good as Kareem Hunt, who's playing hurt, looked this year. And then, of course, Mahomes is always a threat with his legs. He only needed to do that four times last night. What a game. It was a weird game to begin with, and then it was just cruise control in the second half for the second straight week for Kansas City. Especially in the fourth quarter.
I could not believe the start to that game. That was the peak.
You could believe it. It happens all the time. Like it happens all the time.
Straight turnovers.
Yeah. The Chiefs do this, right? Like we know how good they are. And then they do this. Like it shouldn't surprise you.
No, it's not that. It's the fact, but the two teams turned the ball over five times in a row. There wasn't a single punt or point for 17 minutes of the game.
Unders again. So here's what's like from a betting perspective, because the offense is so good for Kansas City. It was this way the first year the defense really took off, which the offense was still good that year. The first post Tyreek year, like unders felt like they were always the play. And now with this defense playing this well again, it kind of feels like the Chiefs have become an under team because the opposition has a hard time. I don't know that I would advise that this week against the Bills.
We got robbed on Mahomes' first touchdown, by the way.
We got to talk about that on the other side. We do. I did hedge it with Hunt because he was at 15-1, oddly. But we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side. Keep it here. We got another hour of Sports Daily coming your way. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, TJ Cleland here with you on a Tuesday morning following a Chiefs Monday Night Football game. TJ coming to us from Kansas City. Spent the evening there at Arrowhead Stadium with the Kansas City Chiefs. More on the Chiefs in this hour. We can mention and touch on that 18-inning World Series marathon last night. Want to talk about this LSU coaching situation because we just didn't have time yesterday. KU loses a big-time football recruit. We got a lot of stuff to get to in this hour. We'll do it all. It's all brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, featuring Yumkin Pumpkin Ale, WBC's most popular seasonal beer. It's made with actual pumpkin and served with a spiced rim. Yumkin Pumpkin, now available at Wichita Brewing Company. Pizza and beer made here. We can finish up a little bit on thoughts on Chiefs. Always your comments welcome on any of your takeaways from last night's game. You can give those to us either at 869-1240. Max has the phone lines manned, or Facebook, YouTube, and X is where we can take those video comments that we can put right out over the air. The Mahomes first touchdown bet. My bet this year, and it has been good, is to take a quarterback or a tight end in primetime games, and it has hit a whole bunch this year. It's been very good to me. There's an ESPN bet one on those primetime games that'll give you like half back if you lose. So some of those have been like bigger bets. I did hedge last night with Kareem Hunt. And he was at 15-1 was the reason I hedged there.
Was that a pregame hedge?
Mid-drive
hedge?
No. It was a pregame hedge. So I've been because of the trends to the quarterbacks and tight ends. So I'll take my big bet, and that was Mahomes, like the one that I'm like, okay, this was, and those are the ones that have been hitting. But sometimes I'm like, you know what? And I don't even remember if I did it with Kelsey because his odds were so low. But I did it with Mariota, and I did it with Ertz, and then I was looking through before the game, and I'm like, man, Kareem Hunt's a 15-1. That was the hedge to Mahomes, because if they get it down close, right, they don't quarterback sneak it. back to the point at hand. Mahomes was the big bet. Mahomes was the call. And Rice goes in, but doesn't go in. And immediately I'm like, oh, man. And you text me and a bunch of people text me. I'm like, here we go. Like, it's lining up. And I'm like, wait a minute. They don't ever sneak Mahomes. Like, I don't think they've
sneaked
Mahomes since the knee injury.
It was going to have to be the
rollout.
The option play that they've been going with Mahomes.
Which they do, right? I like, know. That's been a play
which
for
is,
them
by the way,
year.
It's hilarious that they let Patrick Mahomes run a play action option, but not sneak.
Well, because they don't want him in that pile of bodies. I get
but
it.
But it's just funny. It's funny
but
they use him like that.
He
now,
lines up in shotgun. And I'm like, okay, here's the read option. Like, this is it. This is going to be the choice. And it ended up being to Kareem Hunt. But when Rice, because there was this has happened a couple of times on the first touchdown bets have become like my favorite bet, by the way, on games where you're just watching one game. I don't like it for red zone or whatever. But there was the one where Kelce had the touchdown and they threw a flag. And that was an emotional roller coaster. Because they eventually pick up the flag and give Kelce the touchdown. And there was one of the other ones, too, where it was like, oh, no, it's not going to count. And then it ends up counting. Gadsden was the hit last week on Thursday Night Football. There was a Caleb Williams one that I had. There was a Bo Nix one that I had. There was a Kelce one, I think, was the Jaguars game where Kelce had it. Like, all of these have hit this year. So I've been, you know, religious about making those bets. And I thought we were going to get another one last night. Man, I was so close. It was setting up for it perfectly.
Yeah, speaking of that, one of the media people that we're friends with up here was talking to me after the game, and they were going nuts whenever Rashee Rice scored that last touchdown. I was like, what was that about? She's like, I had one leg left in my parlay, and I needed a Rashee Rice touchdown to make like $400-$500. And it was an inch away. It's like, you got to be kidding me.
That's excruciating. That was a good money-making game. Unless you were betting pieces of the Commanders because they were a little janky, but if you were going with the Chiefs go tos, that was a pretty good money making game. And it brings up a point with Chiefs games kind of the rest of the way. I do think that is sort of the formula. I don't really trust ever taking the rushing props for the Chiefs other than maybe Mahomes, but if like Rice to get to 60-ish yards, Worthy and Kelce to get to 40-ish yards, and Mahomes to get over 250. You can usually get it like just that combination of things will usually take you pretty good odds. And it paid last night. I had it last night's exactly what I had, and it did. It paid. So, as we're talking about football and kind of blending it in with the gambling just for some fun, from the football perspective, I do think that is sort of the blueprint for the Chiefs last night. I think it's eventually, if not already, going to skew heavily to Kelce, to Rice, and to Worthy. More heavily to Rice, and maybe sometimes Kelce, like we saw last night. We'll see about that, but definitely more heavy to Rice. Worthy has become a little gadgety to me, which is okay because it fits his skill set, and we know he can be more than that. It's what happens with these other guys, and that'll get interesting, but I think the Chiefs would like to feature those three guys primarily throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting of what they're going to turn into. I think that the one of the biggest things about the wide receiver depth that we've been talking about is that the fact that they haven't used Xavier Worthy as a primary target, which they don't have to, as you said. It makes me feel like they're going to build one up in 1 week. As we said, you know, they're putting more attention on Rashee Rice, which is freeing up Travis Kelce more. You know, you'd think that, you know, one time they may just pull something out and it's like, all right, 13 targets to Xavier Worthy this week, you know, like funnel balls to him, put up a script to go deep and then have him run gadget routes. And just to have that in your back pocket of a guy that has shown that he can be a number one wide receiver. I think that they'll utilize that. I think that they're creative and they'll look for ways to do that.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. I think it will. And again, the shots are probably coming for Hollywood. He may become more of that a little bit, kind of a shot play guy, which is okay. And the other thing that all of it creates is depth. You know, if they can withstand guys getting nicked up this way, sort of like they did on the offensive line last night, all of these resources they've spent at wide receiver and on the line over the years that have never come to fruition are now all at fruition at the same time. Now we'll see if it lasts, but at the moment that's what we have. And that's why I've been a big advocate of the Chiefs being the best team right now, because I just don't know how you're going to stop their offense. And I did not give the defense enough credit, and they just continue to be very, very good. And we'll see if that continues against Josh Allen and the Bills. But even if it doesn't, I think they can outscore anybody. I think they're the best offense in football for sure, if not the best team. And here we go.
I know we just talked about this, but like you don't want it to be a shootout, because then that means your defense isn't playing well. But would you get an Allen Mahomes shootout would be awesome. Like, we haven't seen it.
It's
like,
always awesome.
Haven't seen the true shootout since like the 13-second game between those two. Like, it would just be must watch TV, which it will be anyways.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It'll be fantastic. It always is. It never disappoints. Has it ever disappointed? I don't think it has.
I don't think so.
It's always incredible. Every single time we get to the benefit of being able to see these two teams play each other, it is fantastic every single time. And I can't wait to see it again. I can't wait. It's been fun, and it will be. And we'll have much more on that game throughout the week as well. Hey, thanks to Crestview Country Club for being a great supporter of the program. All this rain, I don't think we've seen the sun in about 5 days now, but it's coming throughout the rest of maybe this week after today. And then next week looks fantastic. I saw Ross and the Storm Team 12 crew throw up that 10-day yesterday, and I'm like, ooh, there's some good golf weather in this 10-day forecast. Crestview Country Club has 36 holes. Never hard to find a tee time out of Crestview. So give them a call. Ask them about all the different memberships they have. All kinds of activities and things happening as well besides the golf. Tell them we sent you here from Sports Daily. We appreciate their support. Also want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee. It is a coffee morning after a World Series game last night, TJ, that goes, 18 innings. It was a back and forth game. That series has been entertaining for sure. But you get two home runs from Shohei Ohtani in the game. You get everything you want in these games. Like, that was high drama, just intense, awesome postseason baseball as Freddie Freeman walks it off in the bottom of the 18th. Just an unbelievable game that you hope doesn't annihilate any momentum or energy that the Blue Jays have. But wow, that's incredible.
I'm gonna have to like DVR and go back and watch this one, because I feel like I have FOMO this morning that I didn't watch the game last night. But there's no way I could have made it.
Like almost nobody outside of the West Coast.
I wonder how many people listening to us right now watched the 18th inning last night. Like, what percentage of the listeners do you think? Less five. Than 10.
Yes.
Yeah, there's going to be some sickos out there, but there's no way.
In my life where I could have been one of those.
I agree. If it was a team that I cared about, then I'd have been up till 3 a.m.
Yeah, I know. If it was the Royals, if it was the Rangers, I'd have been there for sure. Yep. I'm sure that a lot of West Coast folk, because even if it was around 2 a.m., you're just talking about midnight there on the West Coast. So that's not too bad. But
yeah, the best. I'll tell you when we get back on the other side. It's a good story.
OK, good story there. We're going to talk about the Brian Kelly situation there at LSU when we return on Sports Daily.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Other sportsbooks just don't hit right. But FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% FanCash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer, switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the FanCash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.
To get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You can tune in tonight at 6 here on KFH for Chiefs Talk. Just one day after Monday Night Football, a win over the Commanders. It's a Chiefs Kingdom show on 97.5, 1240 KFH. Listen online at kfhradio.com. Or download the free Odyssey app and search for KFH. All right, TJ, take us on story time. You promised a good story before the break. Don't disappoint us.
I mean, I don't know if it was that good, actually, but it was on brand with the World Series. Last night with the Monday Night Football, they bring out the whole crew, and so they had everybody there with I have a Brian Kelly story from this as well. Okay. But the whole crew was out there, and it was like 11:30 or something like that, and I finished up my stuff and I was like, I'm just going to go watch the end of Scott Van Pelt and Stanford Steve here. Just, you know, shoot the crap up on the desk and everything like that. And I walk over there and I'm sitting there for 30 seconds and there's not a single soul in the stands at that point or anything. And they're closing up the show. And people saw it on TV last night, but he was saying, he's like, we're here, we're live at Arrowhead Stadium. there's not a soul watching this show right now. Our own crew is over here watching the 12th inning of the World Series. Not a single person is watching ESPN right now. On the other side of it as well, since we're going to make this segue to Brian Kelly, our friend Dylan Domingue from KWCH from Louisiana, covered LSU, got tickets to this game to go watch Jaden Daniels, wore an LSU shirt just kind of as a comedic relief type of thing, and people kept talking to him about Brian Kelly all day long. And then Ryan Clark walks past, and he's sitting there in the front row, and he said, "Ryan Clark, LSU." And he said, "Man, we need a coach."
They do now because they fired theirs, which is a great segue into this. Good for Dylan Domingue for staying true to that. He'd been talking about that for a long time, our lead investigator there at 12 News. Oh, man, what are we doing here, TJ? We're going to wring our hands and cry about NIL and players getting paid. And we are going to pay Brian Kelly $50 million to not coach. It is the most idiotic and upside down thing that these schools do. And I'm not going to fault Brian Kelly for it. He's like, "I don't know. If you fire me, you got to pay me $50 million. Okay. We sit here and we talk about the troubles and the challenges of players getting any piece of anything for the first time ever. And we're just going to gloss over the fact that the coaching situation, these guys are paid insane amounts of money, and it's okay because they generate insane amounts of money for the university, as do the players, by the way. Brian Kelly or Ed Orgeron have less to do with an LSU national championship than Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. Now, they had to get them to come play there, but those guys are the reason that they won the title. And, you know, for a long time, they got no piece of the pie. And now we just can't stand or handle the fact that they get any piece of the pie or that they might leave and go somewhere else, which is what's going to happen now with the next LSU coach. They are going to leave and go somewhere else. So the double standard is all I've always thought was funny. And then just like the LSU and Brian Kelly's time there, and this year, you know, in his 3 years prior to this year, 10 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins. He was 29-11 there in 3 years. Right after Ed Orgeron won his national title and then won 5 and 6 games and was fired. Brian Kelly was twice as successful in the years following his predecessor, and that wasn't enough. So the question becomes then, of course, well, what is enough, right? What is enough? If 10, 10, and 9 wins are not enough, what is enough? If the only standard is national championships, and that's what SEC teams, especially like LSU, will tell you, like, "Oh, it's all about the national championships," blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. If that's the case, then why in the hell are you signing buyouts of $50 million? Because no coach in America, Nick Saban is the great one for a reason. Nobody wins it every year in college. Nobody does. And so if that's the standard and you know you're just going to fire these guys, why would you ever sign that kind of buyout?
I agree. There is a national piece on CBS Sports. I saw the other day, I believe it was CBS Sports, that, you know, wrote about the LSU athletic director because he's, involved with the two of the largest buyouts in college sports history because they fired two coaches and had to pay those giant buyouts. I mean, it's reckless, you know, and it's just the state of college athletics is that these coaches know that, like, good for them and their agents for knowing that, like, hey, like, we know that people get fired like hotcakes in this business and capitalizing on that. It's like, you want us that bad? Like, you're going to have to pay us $50 million if you want us to get out of here. Like, and the schools just keep doing, like, there's got to be a shift in the tide from these athletic directors, especially nowadays that you're saying that, you know, that's the revenue that you're paying the players with. Like, it's not NIL money anymore. Like, that's the school's money that you're paying with to get these players there. And you just lost $50 million of that money to get a guy to not work anymore. Like, there's that part of it. It's twofold because the other part of it is just the delusional-ish-ism, whatever the word is there, of what college fan bases have become and what athletic directors have become. The fact that KU loses the Sunflower Showdown, and there's legitimately people on Twitter that want Lance Leipold fired. It's like, what the hell are you talking about?
I mean, it's absurd. It is absolutely absurd.
And they act like it fixes every problem. Like, it makes everything worse, typically.
It doesn't fix... Rarely fixes a problem, by the way. Like, almost never does. Because you... Especially in some... Well, so, I mean, sometimes it does. We shouldn't say never. But rarely. Like, do you get it right like that? James Franklin took over for Bill O'Brien. And it took a minute. But, you know, he had a couple of years. But you got to remember where that program was, right? After the Joe Paterno stuff and, you know, Bill O'Brien comes in and actually does a pretty good job and everything's good. And then Franklin takes over. O'Brien goes to the NFL. And I don't remember all that exact sequence of events. But Franklin, you know, he's about 500 through a couple of years. Then all of a sudden it's like, boom, 11 wins. Has a couple more years to rebuild. 11, 10, and 13 wins last year, including a trip to the CFP semifinal. And then he's fired this year because they don't get out to a good start. And I just, like, I am floored that you know, and James Franklin's been around there for a long time. And what is LSU just going to go hire James Franklin? Like, what are we doing here? Like, these college expectations are so stupid, and they're going to get worse now because the expectation is you ought to be paying all the best players. But it doesn't make any sense. Like, none of it makes any sense. You have to have some patience here. And these schools that don't have patience are going to be in this cycle. I don't know where all this money is going to come from. LSU now has to add a $50 million buyout on top of the money. The salary cap will help them. But we're going to find out real quick that salary cap, it's a cute idea. And then everyone's just going to get lapped in the NIL space. And that'll come back and blow back on LSU. And why in the world would you fire a coach who's won 10, 10, and 9 games? Now, there are lots of reasons to fire a coach. It's not only because of the wins. Brian Kelly has been an awkward fit down there his entire time from the, you know, family, fake accent stuff that Jim Rome likes to bring up all the time, to the awkward videos with recruits in the locker room, like all of that. It's always been an awkward fit for Brian Kelly and LSU. It was always going to be an awkward fit for Brian Kelly at LSU. That dude's from, you know, the part of the country he's from, and it ain't Louisiana or anywhere near it. And so you knew that when you hired him. You signed the $50 million buyout. Like, what's the danger of letting him coach a few more years and winning 9 and 10 games a year?
That's the thing. Like, they act like it's just like, it's one thing whenever you fire a coach because they're terrible. Like, and that's sure. That's some, like, you can make arguments. If you're winning 3 or 4 games, like Mike Gundy probably had it coming the way that the Oklahoma State Cowboys have been playing.
Sure.
But that's like, you were like a top 20 team in the country. Like, what's to say that you couldn't just do that again? Like, it's just lightning in a bottle. That's the thing in college sports too. It's not like it's not the NFL. It's not like you have the Chiefs roster every single year and you should be winning Super Bowls with that roster. And if you're not, then you're not. Like, the team isn't going to be there next year. Like, it's going to be different players on the team probably. Like, Garrett Nussmeier won't be playing quarterback. It'll be a different LSU team. And there's going to bring in a new coach and do that. Like, who's to say that they couldn't get lightning in a bottle and have a Heisman contender quarterback, and then boom, they're in the semifinals next year with Brian Kelly? Because as you said, the coaches don't matter as much as the players do. And like, everybody acts like whenever anybody plays bad, you got to go fire a coach.
It's stupid. It's stupid. It's always been stupid. It always will be stupid. And now we'll continue to hear people, you know, complain about the players. They're not people here. People here, you know, don't have that same standard, but we have, you know, you've heard this chatter around Leipold. Leipold's in no danger, by the way.
No. That's what I told people too about K-State earlier this year, is that they're like, we got to get Klieman out of here. Like, we've reached the ceiling and all this. I was like, guys, like, Klieman will literally have to go 0-12 this year to get fired. Like, there's no chance that's going to happen. Like, it will literally take being the worst team in the entire Big 12.
And it's one of those things too, where like, what do you think you're going to accomplish if you go that route? Like, at what point is winning 8 games every year, and they may not this year. And it will, listen, it will be a disappointing year potentially if they don't do what they need to do down the stretch here. But how many of those disappointing years have you had now? Maybe 2. This would make 2, where you're most years you're competing for a Big 12 title. You're still doing very well in the recruiting world. Like, I guess you always have to just think about, like, okay, and I say this all the time, whether it's basketball, football, okay, you're going to fire him. Who are you going to bring in? Who are you replacing him with?
That's the thing. Like, that's especially with our locals, to localize this even farther, is the fact of, like, Chris Klieman is the second greatest coach in K-State football history from the depths that they've come from. Leipold, center, third. Like, I mean, he's up there with, you know, Mangino in those years as well. So it's like, who, like, at that point, you're going to throw a dart and hope that that guy was as good as Leipold was. To throw a dart and hope that guy was as good as Chris Klieman was. And that's what LSU is about to do. Like, they're about to throw a dart and hope that they can be a top 4 team in the country in week 6 of a season and have a chance to get in the CFP. And James Franklin, you're going to fire James Franklin and hope that you can get a coach that could take you to the CFP semifinals. Oh, hey, your coach did that last year.
I hear you. And
it's the argument where, like, if they were coachless and James Franklin was sitting there and you didn't know who James Franklin was and you saw his resume at Penn State would be like, oh, hell yeah, here's $200 million. You know, like,
it's
delusional.
It's delusional. That is correct. It is delusional. Unless you know you're bringing in Nick Saban, who are you hiring?
I don't know.
LSU. Like,
Every open, there was a 5
Lane
open spots,
Kiffin,
I think, right now.
You're paying $50 million and firing Brian Kelly to go hire Lane Kiffin?
Everybody and their brother thinks they're hiring Lane Kiffin next year. I saw the joke
but
yesterday.
But are you fired up about that if you're an LSU fan? I mean, honestly, are you?
Nope.
Of course
the
you're
only
not.
Coach, I think the only coach out there that would be a fresh name that would get people excited is Kurt Cignetti. But there is no way he's leaving Indiana after the contract he just signed.
Didn't he just sign an $11 million a year contract?
He got like a $90 million guaranteed buyout. Like, it would be an absurd buyout if he left.
Well, it's not even just the buyout, and it's a buyout Indiana can't pay. But like, it's more about, he's at a place where he can do no wrong.
Yeah.
He is at a place where he has resurrected a program. He's at a place where they will adore him and revere him for the rest of time. He'd be crazy to leave. Now, that can always wear it out. Bill Snyder, it only took, what, 30 years by the end, where people are like, ah, but look at Kirk Ferentz at Iowa. Like, why on earth would you ever leave those kinds of jobs if you were a college football coach? Why would you go to one of these place full of insane people where 10 wins a year isn't good enough? Texas did this with Mack Brown, and it took them probably until now to recover from that. So what are we talking about? 20 years? And they might do it again with Sarkisian. So much so that he's got people telling the NFL, like, hey, man, I'm interested, because he knows, like, it's not worth it. It's not worth busting your tail 365 days a year as you have to as a college coach, only to get fired for winning 10 games. Like, nope, I'm out. See ya. I'll go to the NFL, where if I'm 500 and I can take the summer off.
Literally, if you're the Titans coach and you win 7 games, it's like, oh, hell yeah, that's great.
That's great for a couple of years. Now, you might get fired after a year or two, but you've been paid well and you got summers off. You got to go scout. You got to go, you know, get ready for the draft and the combine and stuff. But that the requirements of an NFL coach, and it is higher level, and I understand all that, but I've said this forever. Why would you ever choose to coach college over the NFL? Why would you ever choose that? Now, that's at the highest levels, right? That's what we're talking about with Brian Kelly or something. Brian Kelly is an interesting name for the NFL, I've always thought, too. So he is a good coach. He's a weird dude, but he's a good coach. Sark's going to leave. Like, you're going to go through all this if you're LSU and you're going to hire Lane Kiffin. Good for you. Good luck. Right? Like, that's just so stupid. It's an SEC thing to do. It is a retread. It's like, what are we doing?
It's insane. Like, just to like put that in the shoes, which we've seen a little bit in the pro ranks, but like, put that in the shoes of like a professional organization. Like, it's like, oh, well, the whatever. Chiefs lost in the Super Bowl last night last year to the Eagles and got embarrassed. We got to get Andy Reid out of there. You know, like, it's nuts.
Over the last 3 years, Brian Kelly has won 29 games in 22, 23, and 24. 29 games. And Lane Kiffin, guess how many he's won in 22, 23, and 24 at Ole Miss?
How many did Kelly have?
29.
Lane Kiffin has had 31.
29. They play in the same conference and play all the same people. They've done the exact same thing before this year. And here we go. Like, it's good luck. Good luck. That's the thing about, again, when you fire Brian Kelly, who are you going to hire? If the answer is not Nick Saban, it is the incorrect answer.
I don't think Nick Saban's coming back.
Well, I don't either. Maybe the salary cap enticed him. Maybe he doesn't, like, maybe he misses it. I don't know. He obviously has had time there. But you want to talk about a legacy at Alabama that kind of goes real weird real fast, like go to LSU? No, I don't think he's going there either. I've seen Dabo Sweeney's name. I'm like, no, like, what? No, like, it's what is that?
Like, that's the thing too about this coaching cycle is that all the names that the Leipolds and the Matt Campbells and the Climens and everybody that's gotten floated around, like, they're not getting floated around anymore because, like, they've all kind of had, like, more down years. Like, they're not.
It's harder. It's never been harder. It's never been more even than it is right now with players getting paid. Said that from the beginning when all of this started. TJ, another piece of news that we got to get in here today as we're talking college football is JJ Dunnigan Jr.'s decision yesterday. This one stings, I know, a little especially for you, but that's a bummer, man. Like, did not see that coming.
Yeah, it's interesting. He would be one of the, you know, big time recruits and that KU's gotten in a while, a Kansas kid to get him from Manhattan. I think he's currently a four star safety. I think is what he's listed as on 247. Number two player in the state of Kansas, committed to KU back in January. So it's been 10 months, and he was all gung-ho about going to KU and getting to build a legacy at KU, and they were going to let him play both sides of the ball and everything like that. And then this year he's played awesome. And, you know, I know he was injured for a while. He came back last week. He had 5 touchdowns in a game a week ago. And now it feels like the recruiting is amping up. I know that some people in the ACC have been calling apparently and got some more visits scheduled. And then yesterday after the Sunflower, he was in Lawrence Sunflower Showdown, decommits. And then just like that, KU loses their top prospect for the class 2026. So
where do you think that comes from at this point? I mean, we saw this same thing initially with a guy. We see it all the time. We saw Dylan Edwards do it. Like,
yeah.
Where do you think it comes from, though, now? Because it's a different world than when Dylan Edwards did it.
It's still a lot of the same. You know, it's the flip season culture that these coaches, and I don't blame the kids, honestly. Like, it's the same thing that happened to Dylan. Dylan committed to K-State and then got an offer from Notre Dame, like, 2 weeks later. And, like, the coaches don't care. Like, the coaches understand that, like, this is when you sign, like, this is the deadline that we've got. And, like, they'll sit, like, we saw it with Lincoln Cure. He committed in July, and then up until that deadline in November. I mean, it was a full on, like, down to the buzzer type of thing.
Blitz from Oregon, right?
Yeah. And so, I mean, it happens all the time, and that's what's happening here. You know, I think that he was committed to KU, and I think he's played better. And I think that these schools come in and see that he's, you know, bigger and better than he was a year ago and say, like, hey, man, like we've got this check right here that we can cut you that KU is not going to cut you. And then it puts KU in the spot of, like, how bad do you want to keep me, you know? And then it's like, that's just the problem culture of not having, you know, contracts that people sign. And I don't think you can enforce that for kids that aren't in college yet. You know, it's interesting.
Well, until you put them under contract, right? What is a kid?
Yeah, but I don't think you can put a 17-year-old under contract that's not actually at the school yet, you know? And so I think that that's the hard part of that, is that you commit and you're promised money. And, you know, sometimes you don't get that money. I don't think that was the case what this was going to be, but I think it's the fact that you're promised money and you have the dollar sign in front of you. And then somebody else can just come in and say, actually, we're going to give you this much. And then you could just turn around and KU and say, yeah, I don't want to come unless you give me this much now. And I'm not just saying that's what happened, but that's just the problem with the flip culture that college recruiting has now.
I mean, of course, we have the loss to K-State, which makes that sting and makes you wonder if that had anything to do with it. I doubt it. I doubt it.
I don't think it helped, but I think that it was probably it was probably 98% of other schools starting to call.
Yeah, it's and there's also a part of it, and I know KU fans don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. There's also a part of it where this is what it's like to be in the mix for big time players now. Like this is a part of the game. This is a part of the process. We saw it with, you brought up Lincoln Cure, Dylan Edwards. K-State's been in this boat lots of times, and you got to be ready to come back to the table. Like, these days are done. Like, it's a different world when you get up to the prospects of this tier. I hope at some point we just don't have soft commitments anymore.
I know, right? That's the easiest thing that you think about, is the fact that it truly used to be National Signing Day was when you picked, and now, which there's no way to enforce this either, because it's a verbal commitment. Like, and that's what it is. It's a verbal commitment.
It has to be the time you would sign a contract. All of this gets solved with work contracts. I mean, it really does. Like, you sign your contract and you're hooked. Like, you're.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing that, you know, any, you know, you and me could do, you know, go get a job interview and say, you know, this is good. I think I'm going to go ahead and take this whenever it gets offered. And then, you know, somebody else calls and it's like, well, I know I said that, but I never signed anything. And like, that's the same thing that's happened.
I've had a real estate transaction where were ready. We had a contingency on, all we had to do is sell our house. So we put our, whatever they're called, it's been a long time now, that we commit to buying this house. With that contingency, they accept it. We go, we put our house on the market. It sells in like 20 minutes. This was a decade ago. And we're like, all right, we're good. Like, that didn't take long. It literally sold. The first people that came, they bought the house and they were good and everything was good. And it was like, all right, there we are. And we go to call the people we were buying the house from. And we're like, hey, great news. We already got it sold. So we're all good. And they're like, well, we actually didn't sign that. And we got another offer that we like more. We're homeless. We just sold our house.
Yeah.
And they were willing to do that. I don't know how often. You probably haven't seen me angry often, TJ. I try not to be. I was hot. I was legitimately.
I could imagine.
I was ready to go knock on their door. And I had to get talked off of that from my wife. She was like, don't do that. That won't end well. And I'm like, no, I'm going to their house right now. I'm going to go knock on their door and tell them what I think. And she was like, don't do that. That's not going to be a good thing.
Anyways, back to football. That's just the problem. I mean, if you could find a way to enforce that, but you can't, but that's
you can too. You can put them under contract.
Yeah,
you
but can not say,
once you sign this, you have to buy it out if you
it's
leave.
It's true. I mean, I think that – I guess that there could be a thing. It's like, if you want to come here, like, we need you to sign this. Like, we don't do the soft commitment. Like, we want you to come here, which is kind of problematic because, you know, these are high school kids and, you know
– you're paying them, though, at that point.
That's the same thing that you say of the fact of, like, who could tell a, you know, engineering student they couldn't transfer schools? Like, who could tell a 17-year-old?
Well, if they had a work and research contract with the school that they were going to, right? If it was some kind of arrangement like that, if you were an engineering student and you had access to all their technology and all of these things, you'd say, sign this contract. If you leave here, you have to pay us X amount of dollars, or you have to not take an... You have a contract right now, TJ, that says if you were to break it, you could not go work at another station in the market.
That's true.
It's what it says. Yep. I mean, we do it all the time. And, you know, like, we the difference is you're getting compensated an amount of money that is agreed to by both parties. And that, I mean, it is the answer to all of this, but there's a lot of things that come with that. They would almost, you know, there almost certainly would be a union that would work to make those contracts a little more employee driven than, you know, the ones that you and I probably sign in the media world. which are not at all. But it's the only thing I can think of when we come up with all of these problems, quote unquote problems, all of these issues, let's call them, that trouble administrators, and me too. I don't like it either. Like, trust me, I don't like it. Whether it's the right or wrong thing to do and me liking it are two different things. And so until you go down that road, though, like, what are you going to do? Oh, you gave us your word. Yeah, they gave Les Miles their word that they were going to leave him employed for X number of years, too. Like, it doesn't mean anything. Unfortunately, it should, but it doesn't.
Yeah, that's just the problem of it, though. And you know, that's just, as you said, that's just kind of the game you play in the high school recruiting world, and even in the transfer portal world. This happens all the time. And, you know, it's the first and foremost season that whenever the notes app gets taken out, that's just when it starts to come down. So it's tough. But the good news is they still do have, you know, whatever it is, six of the nine top prospects in the state of Kansas are still coming. They still have Hunter Higgins from May South, who immediately, when this news broke, tweeted out a picture of him in a KU jersey about, like, I'm coming to KU, which is kind of awesome. So it's still a good recruiting class. They lose the big fish, but the cycle's still not over. I mean, signing day's still not for another, I don't even know, like 7 months.
I said it before, KU fans don't want to hear this right now, but getting burned by a top prospect is better than never even being in the conversation for a top prospect.
It's true.
It is. I don't know what pushed him over the edge. It was probably money. No, I don't know that kid at all. I shouldn't even say that, but you know, probably usually that's what happens, and that's okay too. Like, I don't mind that. Like, you have a limited window to be compensated as a football player, far more limited with a higher injury of risk than any other sport. I always try to put myself in the shoes of a parent or an advisor of a young person. And if you were committed, and we'll make up numbers to X school for, you know, $50,000, and another school comes and they say, okay, that sounds great, we'll give you $800,000. You haven't signed anything. What would you advise the kid to do?
I don't know. That's
you want to say, we all want to say, we would say, no, you made a commitment, you stick to it.
Yeah.
And then reality sets in, and it's like, you'll never see that much money again in your life.
I know.
Who knows, like, how this goes for you as a college athlete?
That's the transfer portal argument right now that, you know, everybody brings up. Like, I asked this hypothetical just for fun to a bunch of people. It was just like, okay, like, you grew up a KU, like, you grew up a Wichita State fan, diehard, season tickets, all the nine yards and everything like that. Then you're a Wichita State basketball player. You go there your freshman year and you average 20 points per game and you're making $50,000. And then, you know, next thing you know, here's Baylor with like 300 grand. It's like, what number is it that could sway you away? And it's like, I mean, as a 19-year-old kid who probably isn't going to make the NBA, I am taking $300,000.
Well, circumstances matter too. Like, maybe it doesn't matter as much to Arch Manning because he doesn't need the money. And that's easy for me to say, but like, that matters in a lot of situations too. What are you doing? Who are you trying to take care of in your family? Like, at what point, like, it's a messy situation, and I don't know, other than, again, contracting it out, whatever is going to change it. But it is a bummer for KU today. J.J. Dunnigan there. Was he their top recruit?
Yep.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Their top recruit in the class is out. He is no longer going to KU. I don't even think he made the you know, the standard, and they're still in the mix thing.
I didn't see that.
Yeah. Usually that's like the olive branch, but you know, I'm leaving it open for a return. I don't think that even happened.
Yeah.
So it's done. But I see Colorado and Miami.
Yeah, those are the two big players. Georgia Tech's another big player in it as well that are all calling. So Miami's. I think Miami's been on him for a long time, and he's basically kind of backed him off. And then I think that as he's gotten better, I think that there's probably more hype.
And look, Miami's having a nice year. Kansas is maybe having a disappointing year. I don't think that they are. I think they're having just kind of what we thought year, but
it's tough. Hey,
That does it for us here on Sports Daily. Safe travels back to Wichita there, TJ, after a night of Monday Night Football in Kansas City.
I will. So some of our friends up in Kansas City said that they're going to rename it the TJ Turnpike because we've been making so many drives to Kansas City lately. So I know it well. I'll probably stop in my usual Casey's and Emporia on the way back and make a pit stop. But ready to get home, probably going to take a nap today.
Yeah, a nap would be good, especially if you stayed up for baseball. Tomorrow we've got Shreyas Lotta on the program. We'll ask him about the decommitment from the football program and, boy, some real buzz around the basketball program right now. So that is on a Wednesday. We will be back. We'll begin to prepare for Chiefs Bills. Not a lot of time to turn that one around either. Thanks for being here, everybody. Thanks for Wyatt Thompson for joining the show. Thanks to all of you. For Max, for TJ, I'm Jacob. See you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring business page on r.com for more information.
Other sports books just don't hit right, but FanCash makes switching to Fanatics easy. Only Fanatics gives you up to 10% fan cash back on all bets, win or lose, which you can use to unlock the world of Fanatics. From more bets and game tickets to signed memorabilia and one-of-a-kind experiences only Fanatics can offer. Switch to Fanatics Sportsbook and let the fan cash roll in. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.